tell stories and crack jokes. Didn't talk back to his mama when she got on to him. It's just the way he was raised. Had to finish all his started hanging with the outcasts when he went off to town. Some called him a troublemaker. Even some said a lawbreaker. No matter how they talk,
amen. Grace to you and peace in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Good morning and welcome to Asbury. It is a joy to be with you. For those of you in the sanctuary, it is wonderful to see your eyes this morning. And if you are joining us online, we thank you for being with us, and we pray this type of time of worship is a blessing to you. I'm Nick Schimmer. I'm one of the pastors here at Asbury. My colleague is Brother Hammett Evans. He'll be bringing today's message as we wrap up our three-part series, Blind Spots. And so we pray that message is a blessing to you as well. A few announcements before we get started. We are just a couple weeks away from the arrival of our pumpkins for this year's pumpkin patch. The pumpkins are going to arrive on Saturday, October 9th, and we will take any and all hands that we can get to unload what is going to be half a semi full of pumpkins. It should be a great year for the pumpkin patch. And one of the things that we're excited about is that this year it will be youth only handling the fundraiser. What that means is that the 11 to 3 slot that was normally handled by the ACCDC during the week is now for us to handle. And so if there's any of you among our church that finds themselves in a season of their life where they no longer have to get up and go to work every morning, we would love for you to help volunteer during some of those 11 to 3 Monday through Friday shifts. It would certainly be a help to us if you're able and willing to do that. Our second announcement this morning is that we are currently collecting items for the food pantry at the Salvation Army. If you get the Asbury Things email, you may have seen the list of items that they are currently needing. So if you are able to pick up some of those items, please do so and bring them by the church, and we'll make sure that those get to the right place. But the Salvation Army does have needs right now in their pantry. Our Sunday school is going really well right now. We have our students and our confirmands meeting on the south lawn at 10 o'clock. Our youth meets inside at 10 o'clock. And then, of course, for adult Sunday school classes, you're welcome to meet any time between 8 and noon. You're really welcome to meet here anytime on Sunday if you want, because I stay here all day waiting for youth in the afternoon. So if the sometime in the morning, maybe it doesn't work for you, you are welcome to come here anytime on Sunday and have your adult Bible study. The church will be open and available for you to use. As you head out of the sanctuary today, we have an offering basket out in the foyer, as we have for the last few months. You're welcome to give that way, or you can give the other ways that we normally do it, via text, online, or you can send a check to the church office. Any gifts are a blessing to this church and help further our mission and ministry. Now, as we prepare our hearts and minds for worship, please stand as we do our call to worship. We are gathered today as a community of peace and love. Is anyone here today suffering? Is anyone here today rejoicing? You are welcome to this house of peace and love. We come to you, healer, life giver. Let us pray. Jesus, brother and savior, we are grateful to find our way back to you. We have carried out another week's worth of news programs and have listened to another week's worth of predictions. Sometimes we have slept well, sometimes not. But here we are, before you once again, open to your presence. Revive us with your love and power. Fulfill your kingdom promises in our lives, in our church, and in our world. In the name of God who created us and the Spirit who breathes new life in us, we pray. Amen.
That's the part I like. It's a beautiful day in the neighborhood. A beautiful day for a neighbor. Would you be mine? Would you be mine? It's a neighborly day in the beauty world. A neighborly day for a beauty. Would you be mine? Could you be mine? I've always wanted to have a neighbor just like you. I've always wanted to live in a neighborhood with you. So let's make the most of this beautiful day. Since we're together, we might as well say, would you be mine? Could you be mine? Won't you be my neighbor? Y'all remember the trolley? That's what this is about. My neighbor,
I now, will, Mr. Curris.
Do you have some things you'd like to tell the boys and girls?
I think I would. I just want Mr. McFeely to bust through the back door and come on, bring me a piece of mail. Anyway, How many of y'all grew up watching Mr. Rogers? How many of you know Mr. Rogers? I think that show came on a couple of years before I was born. But one of the things that I remember about it is that, and one of my favorite stories about Mr. Rogers was a Presbyterian pastor. A lot of people didn't know that, but Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood was his ministry, and it was a real church thing. One of my favorite stories about him is that I remember he had an aquarium. He had an aquarium, and there were fish in the aquarium. And every day he would go, and he would say, "I'm going to feed the fish," and he would shake a little bit of food in it. What I didn't know until much later was that the reason he said that as he did it was because he got a letter one day from a father of a young blind girl. And the father wrote Mr. Rogers and said, my daughter loves it when you feed the fish, but when you don't say that you're feeding the fish, she doesn't know that, and she worries about the fish. And so from that point afterward, every time he fed the fish, he said it, just for that one girl. Today we're talking about spiritual blindness, and I just couldn't work that story into the sermon, but I still love it. Today, this is the end of our blind spot series. We've been talking about this section in Mark's Gospel, chapters 8 through 10, that deal with spiritual blindness. And that really sets up what happens at the end, and I think we'll see that clearly today. Today we come to a blind man who is willing to see Jesus for who he is. I invite you to read along in your Bible if you have it. And as I share these words, this is from chapter 10, verses 32 through 52. Jesus and his disciples were on the road going up to Jerusalem with Jesus in the lead. The disciples were amazed while the others following behind him were, and really the Greek word is terrified. Taking the 12 aside again, he told them what was about to happen to him. "Look," he said, "we're going up to Jerusalem. The human one will be handed over to the chief priests and the legal experts. They will condemn him to death and hand him over to the Gentiles. They will ridicule him, spit on him, torture, and kill him. After 3 days, he will rise up." James and John, Zebedee's sons, came to Jesus and said, "Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask." He said, "What do you want me to do for you?" They said, "Allow one of us to sit on your right and the other on your left when you enter your glory." Jesus replied, "You don't know what you're asking. Can you drink the cup I drink or receive the baptism I receive?" "We can," they answered. Jesus said, "You will drink the cup that I drink and receive the baptism I receive, but to sit at my right or my left hand is not mine to give. It belongs to those for whom it has been prepared." Now, when the other 10 disciples heard about this, they became angry with James and John. Jesus called them over and said, "You know that the ones who are considered the rulers by the Gentiles show off their authority over them, and their high-ranking officials order them around. But that's not the way it will be with you. Whoever wants to be great among you will be your servant. Whoever wants to be first among you will be the slave of all. For the human one did not come to be served, but rather to serve and to give his life to liberate many people." Jesus and his followers came into Jericho. As Jesus was leaving Jericho together with his disciples and a sizable crowd, a blind beggar named Bartimaeus, Timaeus' son, was sitting beside the road. When he heard that Jesus of Nazareth was there, he began to shout, "Jesus, Son of David, show me mercy." Many scolded him, telling him to be quiet, but he shouted even louder, "Son of David, show me mercy." Jesus stopped and said, "Call him forward." They called the blind man, "Be encouraged, get up, he's calling you." Throwing his coat to the side, he jumped up and came to Jesus. Jesus asked him, "What do you want me to do for you?" The blind man said, "Teacher, I want to see." Jesus said, "Go, your faith has healed you." At once he was able to see, and he began to follow Jesus on the way. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. God of all, we pray that you will be with us now. Give to us your Holy Spirit so that the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts will be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, you who are our strength and our friend, our rock and our redeemer. And the people of God said, amen. Earlier this week, I asked my Facebook friends what is the first thing they would choose to see if they lost their sight and got it back. And there were some wonderful answers. Some of y'all participated in that, and some of the folks watching online did as well. I noticed some trends in the answers, though. Folks who had kids or grandkids basically said they wanted to see their kids or grandkids. Married folks often said they wanted to see their spouse. Pastor Dee Dee said that she wanted to see Michael. Then single folks without children said that they wanted to see nature, see colors or the sunrise or something like that. I mean, there were certainly exceptions, but in general, who you are determined what you see or what you wanted to see. So me, I would choose to see Michelle Pound's blue eyes. Now, in chapter 10 of Mark's gospel, three people ask a favor of Jesus. Two of the people see only what is in it for themselves, but the third sees something deeper and richer, something sublime. And the irony of it is the third man is blind. In this part of Mark's gospel, as we've seen, Jesus tries so hard to be seen by his disciples. He has told them not once, but twice now, that he will be betrayed, condemned, ridiculed, spit upon, tortured, and executed. The first time he told them, we saw that Peter thought Jesus was possessed by a demon, and he tried to perform an exorcism on him. The second time, as Nick shared with us last week, the disciples got into a big fight over which one of them was the greatest. Then a rich man comes to Jesus. Many of us remember this story. The rich man is loaded down with all these possessions. He asks Jesus what he needs to do to inherit eternal life. And Jesus says, it's really simple. All you got to do is follow the commandments. The man says, well, I've done that since I was a little boy. No big deal. Is there anything else? And Jesus says, oh, yeah, I guess there is one more thing. I'll tell you what you can do. You can go sell all of your possessions and give that to the poor and then come and follow me. And you remember that the rich man went away sad because he was so attached to his wealth. Jesus says to the disciples after that scene, he said, you know, it's so hard for rich folks to get into heaven. And the disciples are disturbed by that. They're shocked. They thought that wealth was a sign of God's blessing, that you were such a good person. They didn't understand that when we're blessed with wealth, we're to use it to help others. They say to Jesus, well, we've given away everything to follow you. What do we get out of it? You know, they want to know their return on investment. Jesus says, oh, you're going to get that back 100 times. And then he adds, with persecution. Then they start walking toward Jerusalem. A third time, Jesus tells them who he is and what is right about to happen. Listen up, Jesus says, we're going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be betrayed and handed over to the head priests and the legal experts. They will condemn him to death and hand him over to the Gentiles. They will make a fool of him and spit on him and scourge him and kill him. But after 3 days, he will rise. Now, hearing this, James and John, who have been with Jesus from the very beginning, they were so close to Jesus, he nicknamed them the Thunder Brothers. I think that'd be a great name for a wrestling team. But they've been with him from the very beginning. They come to Jesus, and after he's told them this news, they say, hey, teacher, we want you to do whatever we ask. And I always read that, and I go, really? I mean, that's how you want to respond to someone who has just told you that he is going to suffer and die a terrible death? Jesus takes a breath and he says, what do you want me to do for you? They say, we want to sit one on your right and one on your left in your glory. Now, when James and John looked at Jesus, they only saw what was in it for themselves. Power and prestige and glory and fame. Jesus says, guys, you don't know what you're asking. You see, they think that they are asking to be right beside him when he is enthroned. They wanted to be his vice president and his secretary of state. But Jesus' throne is not a chair. It's a cross. It's a cross. James and John don't realize it, but they're asking Jesus to be crucified beside him. That's why Jesus says, y'all don't know what you're asking. Can you guys drink the cup that I'm drinking or be baptized with my baptism? They say, we sure can. And Jesus says, yes, you will. You will. Yeah. Spoiler alert, James and John were both executed for following Jesus. But then Jesus says, but that's not mine to grant. It's been prepared for others. You remember the two thieves on the cross? They are the ones who are on Jesus' right and on his left in his glory. The others cannot believe that James and John made that request. And it's not that they thought it was a bad ask. They just wished that they had made it. Jesus says, whoever wants to be first among you should be everyone's slave. I did not come to be served, but to serve and to give my life as a ransom for many. Then they get to Jericho, where the walls came a-tumbling down. Jericho is only 7 miles from Jerusalem, and it's the last stop on the way. They walk all the way through town, and as they go, this huge crowd gathers. Everybody in Jericho comes out to see this person, Jesus, that they have heard about. And sure enough, there's this blind beggar named Bartimaeus. And Bartimaeus is sitting right beside the road where Jesus is about to pass. As he hears Jesus approach, he starts screaming at the top of his lungs, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. How embarrassing for the people of Jericho. I mean, Jesus comes to your town, everybody comes out to see him, and then there's this nasty, smelly, blind beggar screaming like that at the top of his lungs. I mean, do you want Jesus to know that you have people like that living in your town? People start saying to Bartimaeus, shut up! Go home! Get off the street! But Bartimaeus doesn't have it. He just starts screaming even louder, Jesus, Son of David, show me some mercy! Jesus stops. And this should come as no surprise if you've read your Bible. When poor people cry out in the Bible, God always listens. And God doesn't only hear their voices, God is always going to do something about it, about that crying out. Jesus stops and he says, call him forward. Now these same people who have been trying to get Bartimaeus to shut up and go home say, get up, come on, he's calling you. What's taking you so long? Go, go. Bartimaeus jumps up and he throws off his cloak. And as a poor beggar, that's one of the few pieces of property he might have owned. Gets up, throws off his cloak, and runs to Jesus. When he gets there, Jesus asks Bartimaeus the very same question that he asked James and John just a moment ago, and they told him they wanted to be the top advisors in his kingdom. What do you want me to do for you? Bartimaeus' answer is simple. Rabbi, teacher, I want to see. Jesus says, go. Your faith has healed you. Now here's the question. What did Bartimaeus choose to see with his new vision? What did he choose to see with his new vision? Well, Mark says that the very moment that Bartimaeus gained his sight, he began to follow Jesus on the way. He followed Jesus on the way. Now, when you're reading Mark's gospel, you realize that after Bartimaeus' brief time in the spotlight, he steps back into the deep background. But Bartimaeus is in every scene that follows because he is following Jesus along the way. As Jesus enters Jerusalem, Bartimaeus is there seeing the shimmering green of freshly cut branches for the first time and shouting Hosanna with the crowd. With amazement, Bartimaeus' eyes witness Jesus as he knocks over the tables and chairs of the money exchangers and the animal husbandmen. In awe, he looks on as Jesus confronts the religious leaders and always has a way of one-upping them. Yes, Bartimaeus is there in Bethphage and Bethany in the impoverished shantytown on the outskirts of Jerusalem, where a woman comes and anoints Jesus with very, very expensive oil. Was it for his enthronement or for his entombment? Did Bartimaeus notice, you think, when Judas stormed out to conspire with the chief priests? Bartimaeus is there again in the upper room as Jesus eats his last meal. Not a royal banquet, but a meal commemorating God's presence in the midst of our suffering. Bartimaeus must have observed how the wine glistens as it pours and how the heel cracks when bread is broken. Bartimaeus' eyes are wide open in the olive grove of Gethsemane. In the radiance of the full moon, as Jesus prays in heartache while Peter, James, and John fall asleep. Bartimaeus sees the mob armed with billy clubs and blades, the purse of Judas's lips, the arrest, the look of sheer terror on the faces of Peter and James and John and the rest of the disciples as they all turned and ran away. But not Bartimaeus. He's there too, in the courtyard, watching the firebrands dance as Peter swears up and down that he never knew Jesus. He follows from a safe distance as the mob takes Jesus to Pilate's praetorium. With dismay, he watches as the crowd demands that Pilate release Barabbas and crucify Jesus. Bartimaeus chooses to see the horror, the purple of the robe, the pointed barbs of the crown, the foam of the spit, the blue-black of the bruises, the sham coronation. He chooses to see the pale gray of the nails, the shattering brightness of the blood and the obsidian blackness of the sky. Bartimaeus chooses to see the very last breath. Do you think he followed them there too? Do you think he followed behind to see where they lay him? Was it he? Mark, among the four gospel writers, is the only one that says in that first morning at sunrise, there was a young man in a white robe in the tomb. Now, some scholars say it may have been Mark. I tend to lean that way myself. But was it him? Was it the one who threw off his only possession, his beggar's cloak, who is now dressed in a fine robe of dazzling white? Was it Bartimaeus who greeted the women at sunrise? Was it he who told them what he saw? Don't be alarmed. You're looking for Jesus, the crucified Nazarene. He has been raised up. He is not here. Go take a look. See where they put him? Now go, tell his disciples and tell Peter that he'll meet you in Galilee. That is where you will see him, just as he told you. Friends, we will see him there too. Now, Galilee is not just a place in northern Palestine. Galilee is anywhere where people of different races and languages and customs and ethnicities live. Galilee is where people are hurting. Galilee is where people are hungry and thirsty. Galilee is where anybody needs to hear some good news. Galilee is in our homes and in our schools and in our neighborhoods and in our community. We will see him there just as he told us. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And the people of God said, Amen. Let us pray. God of all that is, seen and unseen, we thank you for Jesus, for who he is and what he came to do. And we thank you for opening our eyes so that we can see that he came to set us free from the burden of living for ourselves only, so that we may live for others. God, we lift up all the concerns on our hearts this morning. We pray for everyone in harm's way. We lift up all of those who are ill and all of our medical workers as they fight to bring healing. We pray for Christians throughout the world, and we pray for those in our own congregation. For Clifford Smith and Jesslyn Sinkhorn, for June Glazier and Betty Hill, Fred Williams, Barbara Clark, June Counts, Eddie Thorne, Patty Shoemaker, Lanny Langley, Nate Hill, Jessica and Jonathan Sears and their twins, Luke and Olivia. God, we pray for our neighbor, Ms. Franklin, for the family and friends of our beloved Jimmy Ault, and the family and friends of Coach Clyde Horton. Lord, we lift up all of these and others whom we lay before you in our hearts today. And we pray for all of them in Jesus' name. And now we pray as he taught us, saying together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Now please join me as one voice as we affirm our faith together in our bulletin. Follow along. It says, Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is the one true church, apostolic and universal, whose holy faith let us now declare. We believe in God the Father, infinite in wisdom, power, and love, whose mercy is all over his works, and whose will is ever directed to his children's good. We believe in Jesus Christ, Son of God and Son of Man, the gift of the Father's unfailing grace, the ground of our hope, and the promise of our deliverance from sin and death. We believe in the Holy Spirit as the divine presence in our lives, whereby we are kept in perpetual remembrance of the truth of Christ and find strength and help in time of need. We believe that this example of our blessed Lord to the end that the kingdom of God may come upon the earth. Amen.
Thank you.
sight. I can only imagine what my eyes see when the face is before me. I can only imagine. Yeah.
Well, thank you all for coming today. We're glad to have you all with us this morning. I do want to remind you there is an offering basket back in the back. The online options are also available for everyone. Nick mentioned Sunday school earlier. You are welcome to meet really any time between 8 and noon at the church, whatever is convenient for your class. If you'd like to use, there were several classes in the survey that we're conducting who said that they were interested, or members of classes, who said they were interested in hybrid options, which means we would have Zoom and people live in the classroom. If your class members want to do that, you can talk with me or Nick, and we can help you do that if you need help with the technology on that. I do want to encourage, I know most of our folks at this service are regular attenders of the sanctuary services. Pre-COVID, we do need some folks from the launch service to complete the survey. Y'all did really well. Give yourselves a hand. if you haven't yet, there's still time. The link is in the email, and you're more than welcome to do that. But encourage your friends and family who go to the launch service to do that especially. Next Sunday is our World Communion Sunday, and so we invite you to come back. For that, I do want to say thank you to Baker and Carl. Let's give them another sign of our appreciation. And for the guys back in the back in the booth, they do such a wonderful job. Brother Nick and our acolyte. I love your mask. Someday I'm just going to come in with a full Darth Vader, and you're just going to laugh. You're going to be beside. Y'all aren't going to laugh, but he will. Anyway, would you please stand for a blessing? Go forth with Christ above you to be your guide, with Christ below you to hold you up, with Christ beside you to be your friend, and with Christ within you to give you hope, love, joy, and peace. Go forth with Jesus Christ, your Lord. And the people of God said, amen.